Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles this morning. And it truly is a privilege to be able to do this, to be able to study the Word of God and learn from the Word of God. There are many lessons in this book, and we've only scratched the surface so far. There's so much more for us. I truly believe that. This is the book that keeps on giving, the gift that keeps on giving. This is a gift from above, and we continually learn new things from God's Word. Amen. For it is the living Word of God. It is quick and powerful. That word quick means alive. We are going to title this message this morning, Present with the Lord. We will be opening to Psalm 90 to begin with. Before we read even one verse, we are going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for this honor and privilege of looking at thy holy word. And we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would abide with us as we gaze upon thy scripture. We pray that thou would open our hearts and open our minds, make us ready to receive thy word. Give us the ability to discern and understand thy scripture. Let thy spirit work in us. We pray that thy spirit working in us would interact with these words in this book. And we pray that these words would come alive in our hearts. We pray that every line, every verse would have a deep impact on our very souls. And we pray, Lord, that thou would lead us as we embark upon this journey through thy word. Inspire us by thy power. We pray, Lord, that thou would inspire us to follow thee more closely, to surrender to thy will. We pray that thou would lead us, guide us, and direct us in all things. And we pray that there would be no hindrances here whatsoever, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art God Almighty, and there is none like thee, there is none beside thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would lead us as we look at thy word. And we pray, though, God, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, here we are. It's the year 2025. We're in the month of July, and time moves so quickly, doesn't it? We're more than halfway through this year already, if you can believe it. And time is kind of strange in a way when you really start to ponder it. You think about the three dimensions of time, past, present, and future. And, you know, sometimes you really have a desire to go back to the past. It seems like things were better in the past. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Paul did warn that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we do know that the world does progressively grow worse over time. But then we also have this tendency to remember things maybe being a little better than they actually were. We tend to remember the good things that happened in the past. You know, people talk about the 80s and how great the 80s were, but they forget about the Cold War that was happening and the anxiety over the threat of nuclear war. And the 90s, there were many happy things in the 90s. In many ways, it was a simpler time. But the 90s had its flaws too. And we tend to gloss over those flaws and have this desire to go back to the past sometimes. But you can never go back to the past. We cannot return to the past. And the present that we are in evaporates before our very eyes and quickly turns to the past. And the future, well, we never quite reach the future, do we? Because it seems like we're always on this journey moving towards the future, but it never quite arrives. The future never arrives, but merely becomes the past in the blink of an eye. And you know what's really interesting too is when you stop and ponder things is here we are in the present, or so we think. But even the present that we live in isn't really, truly, definitively the present because there's a very, very, very short delay in our brain's processing power. Now, it is only a fraction of a second, but it takes that long for the information of your environment surrounding you to reach your brain, for your brain to process it, and for you to figure out and absorb what is going on. So what you are actually seeing that you think is the present is actually a fraction of a second old. So it's not really the present, it is the near present. And yet we serve a God who is eternal, who dwells outside the realm of time, and he sees the past, present, and future simultaneously. He created time for our benefit, but he is not bound or limited by the constraints of time. Our God dwells in heaven. And someday, if we stay true to the Lord, we get to dwell in heaven with him. And when we get to heaven, you're not going to think of the past anymore. And you're not going to think of the future, because in heaven, you're not going to need a future anymore. It's going to be eternity. The only dimension that will be in heaven is the present. And that is why I am calling this message today, Present with the Lord. We're going to start in Psalm 90. Beginning with verse 1, and of course, this is an interesting psalm. It's a very unique psalm. When we talk about psalms, the first person that probably pops into your mind is King David, because he did write many psalms, but he did not write this one. This one was, believe it or not, and believe it because it's true, it was written by Moses. Therefore, it is a very unique psalm. And this is, I believe, the only psalm written by Moses. Some were written by King David. This one was written by Moses. Some were written by Asaph. Some were written by anonymous writers. But this one, we know that it was written by Moses. And of course, he was a man who saw many things. He was used by God to bring the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. And we know that they traveled through that wilderness for 40 years. It shouldn't have taken that long to get to the promised land. And Moses himself did not even get to enter the promised land, but he did see it from the mountaintop. Psalm 90, starting with verse 1, it tells us, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And you know what? That is still true for us even to this day. The Lord is our dwelling place. We abide in him, and he abides in us. Just as Jesus said in John chapter 14. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You see, he is the everlasting God. He has always existed. He is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. Now that's eternal. It couldn't possibly get any longer than that. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. And we know that Moses was witness to much destruction. Destruction in Egypt. He watched the 10 plagues be poured out upon the Egyptians as punishment for their awful treatment of the Israelite people and also their scorn against God himself. And he saw the Lord roll back the Red Sea so the Israelites could cross over on dry ground. Meanwhile, the Egyptian soldiers were drowned in those waters. He saw much destruction. And he also witnessed destruction of the Israelites people when they disobeyed God in the wilderness. So yes, Moses saw many, many things. He could say this quite accurately, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men." The wonderful thing about our Savior is even when he pours out judgment, he always makes a way of escape. He always offers an opportunity to return to him. And he did that time and time and time again with the Israelites all throughout their Old Testament history. And the wonderful thing is, even in this modern time that we live in today, maybe if you were once following the Lord and maybe you kind of fell away, that does happen. You can still return. You can come back to the Lord. And when you do that, he will welcome you with open arms. Yeah. Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. You know, this verse here, verse 4, is very reminiscent of other scriptures that you might find. We know that 1 Peter wrote that 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. And we know that God does not perceive time like we do. We look back at 1,000 years and think, oh, that is a long time. But in God's eyes, it's just like one day. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Now, if 1,000 years is as one day is in the sight of God, if it's as one day, just imagine how brief our lives are on this planet. You know, even if you live to be 100 or beyond that, that's still just a very, very, very small piece of time. And time is just a small piece of eternity that God has marked off for us. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. You know, the grass does grow. Sometimes it grows very quickly and it looks so green, lush, and healthy sometimes, but it doesn't last very long. Many of us get out our lawn mowers and we chop it down. And those grass cuttings all over the yard, what happens to them? They wither and they die. And here, the psalmist Moses, in this case, is comparing this to the very brevity of life, the shortness of our lives. It goes by so quickly, just as grass grows quickly, but then also is cut down quickly and withers quickly. And these verses actually echo what we read in Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, which tell us, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Life on planet Earth is so short in the big scheme of things, but the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. The Word of God is eternal. And 1 Peter actually quoted from those verses in Isaiah. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 through 25, it tells us, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh yes, life is brief, but God is eternal. And you know what's so amazing? He has offered us eternal life too. So this life is when it's done, when you're through, when you're finished on this planet Earth, on this terrestrial ball, this marble floating in space, that is not the end of your story. In fact, it is just the beginning. Verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. We know that God hates sin, and we might think we have secret sins that no one knows about, but the Lord sees those too. You cannot hide anything from the Lord. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Our years go by so quickly, and then they become a story that is told. Maybe told to others, told to younger generations, but our time on this world ends, and those stories are told less and less frequently. Years pass, generations come and go, and even those tales, those stories, fade away into the past. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. A score is 20, so 60, and if you add 10 to 60, you get 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, or 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, this is not a hard and fast rule. We know that many people live even beyond 80. In fact, Moses himself did. He lived to be 120 years old. But this is more of an average. And even so, he's saying if you live to be 70, or maybe you're a little healthier, a little stronger, you live to be 80, or even beyond that, it is still a very brief amount of time. And then we are cut off from this world, but we fly away. And where do we go? Where do we go? Well, if you serve the Lord, you go to be with him. Verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this is actually wise. We number our days, we pay attention to the days that have passed, and we realize that time is passing so quickly. And I've mentioned this before too. I know sometimes people talk about birthdays and they say, oh, you shouldn't celebrate a birthday, because when birthdays are mentioned in the scriptures, that was someone awful doing something awful on their birthday. But you know what? The scriptures never specifically say not to celebrate birthdays. And if God was going to forbid it, he would have forbade it. When you look at the Old Testament laws and everything that's in them, if he was really opposed to people celebrating their birthdays or others celebrating you on your birthday, I think he would have mentioned it. But here we're told to number our days, and one of the ways you do that is by celebrating a birthday. So there's nothing wrong with that. Some people actually read and infer things from scripture that aren't actually there sometimes. So there's no prohibition against celebrating birthdays, and that is actually one of the ways that we can number our days, which we're told here is wise. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. When it says repent there, it's not asking the Lord to repent of any sin or iniquity. The Lord has no sin or iniquity. Sometimes you see that word repent in scripture, and really it's just asking the Lord to turn from his wrath and show mercy instead. Remember that word repent means turn around. So he's asking the Lord to show mercy instead of wrath. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You know, our days are brief in this world. This life is short. So you want to fill that life with as much joy of the Lord as you possibly can. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yes, we need the Lord to establish us. We need the Lord to be with us. Without him, we will fail. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And he will establish his people if we turn to him, if we repent of our sins, if we cry out for mercy, if we cry out for his grace. He is willing to extend his mercy and his grace to his people. Now, this psalm is so profound because it compares the shortness of our human lives on this planet to the eternal nature of God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. He has always been God and always will be God. No one is going to overthrow God or take over the throne in heaven. Let's look at Psalm 102. This is an anonymous psalm. We don't know specifically who wrote this one, but it does have a description, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. And you'll notice that many psalms involve crying out to God in distress. And sometimes there's a lot of distress being expressed in psalms. But you'll notice that in almost every case in the psalms, it gets to a point where it starts out, you know, you're maybe listing your problems, your concerns, or your complaints, but then there's always that point, that pivot in the psalms where it turns to hope in God. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me. In the day when I am in trouble, incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. You know, when you are in trouble, it is best to call upon the Lord, for he is the one who is truly able to help us. He is the one who is truly able to deliver us. Verse 3, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. And yes, days pass quickly, and in particular, the psalmist here is in distress, but he's saying, my days pass like a vapor. They disappear like smoke into the air. And my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Sometimes people become so distressed that they don't eat properly, and sometimes you can also become so busy you forget to eat too. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. In other words, he's just skin and bones. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. These gloomy, solitary birds are being referenced here by the psalmist. He's comparing himself to these gloomy, solitary birds, like a solitary pelican in the wilderness or like an owl in the desert, all seemingly all alone. But the psalmist did understand that he could turn to the Lord. Verse 7, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. You know, there might be times in your life when you feel like you're all alone. You might feel like a lonely little bird. But you know what? The Lord even loves the little birds. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. So while it may seem like you're a lonely little sparrow sometimes, just remember, God loves the sparrows. And if he loves the sparrows, he loves you even more, because you are far more valuable than a sparrow. Continuing on in Psalm 102, verse 8, mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Based on the context of this psalm, it was likely written after the Babylonians came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Based on the context, this would have been one of the people, whoever it was, who was either in captivity or perhaps even one that was left behind in the area of Jerusalem. But based on context here, this definitely seems like this would have been written after that occurred. And you see, there's a lot of sorrow here. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. And you might wonder, well, how would somebody eat ashes? Well, maybe so much was burned and so many ashes were flowing through the air that got onto the food, or even there might have been some that just landed in his mouth. And mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, what caused that desolation in Jerusalem? God's indignation and wrath against the idolatry that had occurred there. And they were warned. God sent prophets to warn the people. They did not heed those prophets. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Now remember how I always say there's a pivot point in the Psalms? This is it in verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. You see, he is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the eternal God who knows the end from the beginning. He endures forever. And thy remembrance unto all generation, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. Here the psalmist is saying, even though the temple was torn down, the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, even the stones that remain, they took pleasure in them because they realized that one day that city would be rebuilt, that temple would be rebuilt. God promised that it would be so, and God always keeps his promises. Verse 15, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Why was Jerusalem rebuilt? Why was that temple rebuilt? What was the real purpose of it? One day, the Lord, that image of the invisible God, our Savior, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come and appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generations to come. This was for the generations of the future. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. And that includes us. We can still praise the Lord today. Amen. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. Just imagine God looking down from heaven upon his people, taking an interest in our lives. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. If this sounds familiar, perhaps it's because it's very reminiscent of Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. What do those verses tell us? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And who did that? Jesus Christ. You know, one day he went into the synagogue. He opened the scroll. He read from Isaiah. He read those very verses, and he told his audience, this day are these words fulfilled in thy ears. And yes, we know that Jesus Christ fulfilled that. These verses we read in Psalm 102 are very similar. And so we see again a reference to our coming Messiah, who came and was victorious. And now we have the benefit of being able to look back on what he did, but we know he's coming back again too, to gather his people together. In fact, Jesus Christ began gathering his people together on the cross of Calvary. That's what it was all about. He was gathering his people from the past, everyone who ever believed on him. He was gathering those there in the present. He was gathering those in the future. The cross was the gathering point. Jesus came to gather his people together, and he is still gathering his people together. When the harvest is complete, he's coming for his own to take us to glory. Amen. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. And here the psalmist is pointing out how brief his life is and asking the Lord to extend it a little. Don't take me away in the midst of my days. And then adding, thy years are throughout all generations. Think of all the generations that have come and gone. The Lord has been there for all of them. Since the very beginning, the Lord has been there for every generation. He has seen the work of every generation. He sees all the weird quirks of every generation. And time moves so quickly. You know, if you are a baby boomer, look at all the generations that are now in front of you, Generation X. And then you have millennials, and then you have Generation Z, and then you have Generation Alpha. Time goes so quickly. I'm an elder millennial, so there's already two generations younger than my generation, which is kind of a remarkable thing. So the Lord has seen every generation. And verse 25 tells us, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. This planet is wearing out. Even the scientists will admit that. It's not going to last forever. But the Lord endures forever and ever and ever. For he is from everlasting to everlasting. Even all of these works of his hands that he created, this world, this planet, the other planets, the stars of heaven, the entire universe, all of that will one day end, but the Lord endures, and he has promised to give us a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. And by the way, those verses are actually quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, which tell us, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And back in the Psalms, what does it tell us in verse 27? But thou art the same. This world won't last forever, but through all generations, and even beyond every generation, the Lord is the same. What do the scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Yes, the earth will wax old like a garment, but the Lord is eternal. He is the same, and his years have no end. In fact, in Revelation chapter 10, verses 6 through 7, it tells us, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. One day, time will end. That piece of eternity that God has marked off will end. But the Lord remains beyond that, and if you belong to the Lord, you remain beyond that with him in heaven. Let's look at Revelation 22. should be easy to find. It is the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22, and we're going to go down to, oh, you know what? Let's just start with verse 1. We'll get a running start at it. Praise God. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, you can read about that tree of life in the book of Genesis. It was in the Garden of Eden, and sadly, Adam and Eve didn't eat from that tree of life. Instead, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate from the wrong tree. If they had eaten of the tree of life, they never would have died. But instead, they chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when they already had the knowledge of good, and the only thing to be gained by it was the knowledge of evil. Yet when we get to heaven, we have access to that tree of life, and the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. Why? Because the Lord gathers his people from every kindred, from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation. Amen. And we will receive that healing from those leaves. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Why is there curse in this world? Because of sin. But in heaven, there's no sin, and so the curse is also abolished. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You know, the book of Revelation talks about the mark of the beast that is in the right hand or in the forehead of many people who take it, but the Lord also has a mark for our foreheads, and that's the one you want. You want him to put his name in your forehead. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You see, the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. But when we get there, it will be forever as well. All made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Of course, we are not to worship men, but we are to worship God, and God only. Verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. What time is at hand? The time when time was about to expire. The time when time will expire, and there will be no more time after this time is over. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You see, when time ends, the condition we are in, when time ends, is the condition in which we remain for all eternity. If we are righteous, we will be righteous still. If we are filthy, we will be filthy still. If we are unjust, we will be unjust still. Because time stops. And when time ends, the opportunity to repent is over. The opportunity for transformation is over. We know that things change in this world, and why do things change? Because time passes. The present moves so quickly, and the future quickly becomes the past, and everything changes along the way. But God is the same forever and ever. And how we are when time does expire is how we will remain. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, from everlasting to everlasting. I want to go to one final place in Scripture before we close this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and we are going to start with verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we know that our bodies, our human bodies, are really houses for our souls. You have a soul, and it lives inside your body for now. It won't always be in that body. But this is a dwelling place. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. You see, one fine day, when the resurrection occurs, these old bodies that we have will be transformed. But until that time of the resurrection, if you leave this world before that happens, your soul goes to be in the presence of the Lord. Verse 2 tells us, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. And the word tabernacle, by the way, means dwelling place. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, isn't that an interesting way to phrase it? Mortality, or death, swallowed up by life. The life of Jesus Christ that he puts inside us, that life that he came to give us. He came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. So abundant, in fact, that it's eternal. You can't get any more abundant than that. Praise God. Verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. God's Spirit that he puts inside us is the down payment of our inheritance in heaven. Praise God, which is our heavenly home. Praise the Lord. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And yes, we need to walk by faith every day, pressing toward the mark. We need to finish that course. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now watch this in verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, when you get to heaven, there's no past, there's no future. All there is in heaven is the present. And when you get there, you will be able to experience the true present, no brain delay whatsoever, but the true, real, genuine present, and you will experience that for all eternity. So, in the end, if we stay true and faithful to God, we will exist in a constant state of the present with our God and be present with the Lord for all eternity. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning. Thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the promises we find in thy scripture. We thank thee for the assurances we find in thy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to lay hold upon thy truth, to lay these words to heart. We know that thou art eternal. We know that from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast made a way for us to also inherit eternal life so that we can be with thee in the present for all eternity. We pray, Lord, that thou would lead, guide, and direct us. Help us to not turn aside to the right or to the left, but keep us firmly focused on thee. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. We pray, Lord, that thou would lead thy people and bless thy people. Bless thy people who are here in this building this morning. Bless thy people who are listening online. And bless thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to open our chorus books in closing. We're going to turn to number 26 and sing In His Presence. 26.
Oh, what fellowship.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.